Bavakama Perik Zayin Mishnah Vav 7-6. The pivotal issue of this Mishnah is that in order for one to be liable for Ganeva, for having stolen something, he has to do a formal Masa Kinyan, a formal action which would be able to transfer ownership from the previous owner to him, much the same way as we learn in Kedushin, when one is going to acquire something just in a commercial transaction, you know, giving the money or saying, I agree to give it to you, or saying it's yours, or shaking hands, none of that transfers ownership. You need a formal Maisa Kinyan. When it comes to a livestock, here in our mission, we'll consider two of those different acts that would effect transfer ownership. One is called Meshicha, pulling the animal, causing it to move. The other is Hagba'ah, lifting it up off the ground. Now, Hagba'ah, lifting something off the ground, works in all events. If a person says, here, you can have my sheep, and the buyer says, okay, and he lifts it off the ground, that's what effects the transfer of ownership from the seller to the buyer. And similarly, if you have a thief, so if he lifts the sheep off the ground, that's when it becomes his, I mean, he's stolen it effectively. When it comes to Meshicha, causing the animal to move, let's say dragging it, pulling it along, so that cannot be effective while the animal still remains in the reshus, in the property of the owner. It only becomes an effective mode of transfer when the Meshicha is done, the animal's pulled, in some kind of like neutral ground, meaning in not in the property that's owned exclusively by the current owner, the first owner, the seller, the victim in the case of a theft. So with that in mind, the Mishnah is going to discuss what happens if the thief is in the midst of stealing it, the animal, let's say, but he hasn't done a proper Maasa Kinyan, a proper act which would transfer ownership to him. Now, if indeed he has done a proper Maasa Kinyan, there would be two separate ramifications. The first would be that now the thief is required to return the object, and he is subject to that penalty of the kafal, the double payments, both of those. So that's kicks in when and only when the thief does the Maasa Kinyan, the action which would transfer, making him being formally a thief, as opposed to just a guy who's in the midst of getting around to stealing something. The other issue is that when one steals something, so he's taking possession of someone else's object, he's certainly no less liable to protect and look out for the consequence of like the animal causing damage or damage being caused to it than one would be if he were a shoel, someone who's borrowing with permission. The thief essentially is borrowing without permission. And therefore, once the thief has done the Maasa Kinyan, he becomes responsible for any damage that happens to or is caused by the animal. So, that being the case, the Mishnah here says, Hayamoshcho v'yotze, if the thief is in the process of stealing, let's say, a sheep, he's dragging it out of the property of the current owner, but it hasn't yet left the owner's property. Umeis b'rishus habaalim, and the animal actually dies in the process of being led off of the property, before actually leaving the property of the owner. So like just as a heart attack. It's not that the thief didn't kill the animal just died. So then patur, then the thief will be exempt from all obligations because he didn't do anything. He didn't steal the animal yet before it died, and he didn't assume responsibility for the animal because he didn't do an act of theft that would make him now be like the person who's taken the animal without permission. He hasn't taken it yet. Obviously, if the thief caused the death of the animal, that would be not an act of theft, but like we saw before, an act of nezek, of damaging someone's animal. But that's not the case of our mission. Our mission is the animal just died of its own natural causes. Now, higbio, if the thief actually lifts the animal off of the ground, so that would be an effective maasa kinyan, making the thief now performing an act of theft and becoming responsible. Osho tzil mershus abailim v'meis, or if he was being moshech, that he was pulling it, but the animal actually left the property of the owners, the mace, and then the animal just dies. So then, chayev, so then at that point, the thief is obligated to make restitution because it's his responsibility if the animal dies. Just like if someone borrows, if you want to borrow my cow for the day to do work with it, and the cow meanwhile dies, so then you can't just say, I'm sorry, your cow died. You have to return the animal to me. So then, similarly, the thief would be responsible for the death of the animal at that point. Now, the second part of our Mishnah is, when I say meis chayev, means he's chayev now to pay a kafal payment, a double payment, right? Once for the he has to return the animal, which is dead now, so just the value of the animal, plus he has to pay restitution. In addition to restitution, he has to pay also the penalty of however much the animal was worth at the time that he stole it. He had to pay that again. That's the kevel, the double payment. Okay, that's part one of the Mishnah. Now, part two of the Mishnah takes this idea to the next level. It says, what happens if our thief is a very clever fraudster who understands the basic halachas that we just discussed, and therefore he himself never does any action which would make him perform an act of theft? He basically leaves that to somebody else to do, or he tricks someone else into doing it. One example I'll tell you now is, let's say the thief owes someone else money. So he says, oh, I owe you $100, and that's the value of a little sheep. Why don't you come to my backyard, as he fools his creditor into thinking, and help yourself to one of my sheep. And so then the creditor takes a sheep, thinking he's being reimbursed for the debt that's owed to him, but in fact, what he's really doing is stealing somebody else's, they'll call him the victim sheep. So now, who becomes the thief? Is it the fraudster who essentially caused the theft to occur, and he did nothing? Or is it the unwitting creditor who thought he was taking a sheep that belonged to someone who owed him money, but actually he was stealing a sheep? So who actually is the thief who would have to pay the kefil payment? At all events, that's the question. The answer to that question is a machlokas, and the machlokas revolves on the issue of what we discussed previously in the Masechta of being a shaliach l'dvar avera, for acting as an agent for somebody else to perform some kind of crime. So the usual rule is that we said before, there's no such thing as being a shaliach l'dvar avera, meaning if I tell you to go rob a bank and you rob the bank, you can't point to me. You're the one who robbed the bank. You're fully responsible. Even if I sort of induced you to do it some way, I threatened you with, blacking your eye or by paying you $100, it doesn't make a difference. The point is, you carried out the theft, even though it was induced by me, so you are the thief. So the reason why we say that the person responsible, the one who did the act, is because even though he was acting as a shaliach, so to speak, ein shaliach l'dvar avera, because divrei harav, divrei hatalmid, mi shomin, says the Gemara, if you have instructions that were given to you by the master and instructions that were given to you by the student, to whom should you listen? That's a rhetorical question, again, which means, God said don't steal. The guy who's inducing this, the would-be bank robber, to yes, steal. Who is the bank robber I'm supposed to listen to? God who said don't, or the godfather guy who said do? The answer, of course, is he's supposed to listen to Hashem, so that he's responsible to Hashem for breaking Hashem's rules. Now, the Machlokes Rishonim revolves on the issue of, well, that all sounds good, but what happens if the person who's doing the action, unbeknownst to him, of being a thief, like the creditor is taking the sheep that doesn't belong to either of them, he's not listening to Hashem. He doesn't know this. He's stealing. So do we say still, bottom line is, he is the agent of the theft and he's responsible? Or do we say that here he is essentially just acting as a shliach d'var avera because he didn't know not to listen to Hashem, he didn't know he was acting as a thief, and therefore the real person who was responsible is the mishalech, the fraudster who tricked him, and the fraudster should have to pay? Okay, and then actually the machlokas rishonim, the answer to that question. So we'll discuss those shitas in a second, but let's see the Mishnah inside now. The Mishnah says, Nesano lebuchoros beno, if the fraudster gives the victim sheep to some kohen for the sake of pidyon haben. There's a rule, of course, that when a firstborn male, under many circumstances, a Jewish boy has to be redeemed with his five slime, his five silver coins, or an equivalent value by a kohen, and the money goes to the kohen. So here the fraudster has a son. He says to a kohen, listen, kohen, I'm going to give you, five slime. Just come to what he's referring to as my farm, and help yourself to one of my sheep worth five slime. So what happens is that the fraudster really is letting the Kohen steal some third-party sheep. So effectively what happens is when the Kohen walks off with the sheep, the Kohen has unwittingly performed an action of theft. Okay, so who's responsible? O l'baal chovo, or the fraudster owes somebody else money and gets his creditor to come and choose the sheep himself. Again, the baal chov, the creditor does the actual taking of the animal, whereas the fraudster does nothing. Or l'shomer chinam, l'shoel, l'nose sachar, or l'socher, or the fraudster says to some third party, listen, you act as my shomer, as my guardian. You take the animal back to my house, and I'll deal with it later. Meaning, I guess he's planning to get the Cohen or the creditor to collect the sheep, not from the farm, but from, you know, the fraudster's home. But who actually does the escorting of the animal off the premises? It's this shomer, this guardian, and not the fraudster. In all those cases, via moshchov u'meisper shusah bailim, we're paralleling now the first part of the Mishnah. If the unwitting thief, we'll call him the Kohen, for example, or the creditor, etc., he's taken the animal off the premises, but then the animal dies while still on the property of the owners, so there's never an act of lifting of hagbah, just of meshicha, and since you can't, meshicha is not affected the transfer ownership while still on the property of the owners, then patzer, then everyone is innocent, and then there's no payment to be made. It says the Bar Tanura, haganav meklum, the fraudster is off the hook from everything, because he did nothing, right? He just told this Kohen to take the animal, but the animal died before anyone did anything, technically speaking. But higbio oshahotzi mershus ha-bailim v'meis. However, if, again, paralleling the first part of the Mishnah, if our Kohen or our Balchov, etc., he lift the animal off the ground, or he did Meshicha and he let it off the premises, so at that point, the Meshicha, when it's a neutral ground, like in the alleyway or whatever it is outside the owner's home, at that point, an act of transfer has occurred, a Maisa Kinnin has occurred, so now the animal is a stolen animal. V'meis, when the animal dies, chayev, now there's an obligation to make restitution. Now, the question is, who has to make restitution and how much? So the Bar Tanura seems to learn, although he's not explicit, that it would be the ganav, the fraudster, I'll call him, who'd be responsible, as some Rishonim learn, and he would have to pay, you know, a kafel payment, a double payment, and the reason why is because of ein shleil chadavar aver, even though that the Kohen or the creditor, etc., did the act of theft, they didn't know, and so the real bad guy is the ganav. That seems to be what the Bar Tanura is learning, but he's not explicit. The Rambam is explicit, and he says no. He says the rule of ein shliach davar avera, you can't be an agent for someone else to do a sin, is hard and fast, and even if you're tricked into doing the sin, you're responsible. And therefore, the Rambam paskins that it would be the Kohen, or the Balchov, etc., who took the animal, even though they're an unwitting thief, but they're a thief, and therefore they're responsible to return the animal, and not only that, but to pay also the kafel, to pay the double payment as well. Ostensibly, that would be the din. Obviously, at that point, the Kohen could turn around and you know, pursue the fraudster, but the bottom line is the person to whom the owner, the original owner of the sheep would turn is the person who took the sheep, which was a tricked, a duped Kohen or Balchov, etc.